selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrity Book Club.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's Ortiz.
It's Studio 54. It's
Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Club. Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Boo!
Best friend.
Hey, spookalicious ho. My body's too spookalicious for you.
Hey, devil, can you handle this?
happy All Hallows Eve, you crazy bitch.
Hell yes. And this is just a PSA for costumes this year. Just give it a second thought before you.
Yeah, maybe do a sensitivity check-in before you wear your incredibly offensive costume that may be appropriating someone else's culture.
Okay, so glad to just get that housekeeping out of the way.
I'm not sure if this episode is going to air before or after Halloween, but can I ask, do you have a costume yet?
So I do have a costume and I'm pretty excited about it. And, you know, I was worried because I was like, you know, after the surgery, will I be able to costume?
Right.
But I think it's pretty comfy. And I do have, I've wanted to be this man slash animal for years.
Is it a centaur?
Yeah. Bugs Bunny. What's up, Doc?
Yeah. Well, you don't have buck teeth, but you kind of do have. In some ways, you do kind of have buck teeth. You have these two prominent.
Yes,
front teeth.
I'm not. No, I'm. And just to our fans, I'm not taking offense at all to this. I do. I have these two big old kind of front teeth. They're not like, or you know, bunny, but yeah, they're bigger and they have like.
They're bigger than their neighbors randomly. And like, it's also because the way your mouth shape frames them a little bit. I'm like now noticing this. Like, when I smile, it's very, like, big gay horse teeth mouth. And, like, when you smile, it's a little bit more, like, of a cute little frame around those two Bugs Bunny teeth.
Exactly. And I used to be self-conscious about it, but now I actually think it's kind of cool. It
yes,
just shows
embrace
off.
Embrace your mouth.
And that is what our authoress is all about today.
It's Oral Empowerment Week at Celebrity Book Club. Okay, so you're going to be Bugs Bunny. Are you going to get a full, like, fursuit that you're going to be really hot in?
Well, no, my GF, this is like the first time I've had the costume planned because my GF for my birthday last year got me a full Bugs Bunny costume.
and you couldn't wear it because of a little thing called the pandemic.
Well, my birthday is after Halloween, so it's just been
Wait, she got it for you for your birthday.
Yeah, for my birthday. So it's just been like in its plastic wrap, like raring to go.
Getting someone a full fursuit costume for their birthday that they're going to wear in 10 months is insane.
Well, it's very, and again, to relate to our book, it's very Comic-Con stuff. And I feel like a lot of people do think me and my girlfriend are furries. And we're always like, no, we're not furries. But this does pretty much cement the fact that we are furries, that just like in the closet right now is standing next to each other in a way. A Sailor Moon costume and a Bugs Bunny costume. Like, yeah, that's pretty nerd fetish.
Right. And it only takes like the line between those costumes being next to each other in the closet to those costumes standing next to each other at Comic-Con to those costumes making their way to the bedroom.
To the boudoir.
It's a thin line, a blurry, blurry thin line.
I've tried it on. It's going to be a pretty comfy costume. The question that I have for you is...
Nice.
Yeah, pretty awesome, comfortable costume.
Comfort is
that
huge for me on Halloween. Usually I go to one, maybe two, even three events. And over the course of 4 or 5 hours, if I'm not comfortable, I'm going to be really, really grumpy.
I mean, it's classic girl on Halloween, like being cold in like spiked heels, just like with like wings,
no,
tears streaming.
Warm AF.
Is that so? The costume is like a big gray sweatsuit with like the bunny feet and a bushy tail and the ears, but there's nothing I think I need to do.
It's not a big face mask.
No, not a big face mask. It's kind of everything else. So that leads me to do I paint on the buck teeth? Do I?
Well, you could do such a like face paint situation, like a child's face paintress comes over and like gives you a full like, I guess like it would be like white with face with like whiskers.
Yeah.
And then you have the ears on. Makeup
yeah, have
can
the
also
ears.
Crack over the course of the night in this way that looks weird. We all know what I'm talking about when
no,
makeup cracks.
What are you going to be?
Well, as I was mentioning to you, I wanted to be Elliot Page.
Well, you haven't mentioned that to me.
I haven't? I feel like I've been mentioning this to everyone.
Did you say you wanted to be Elliot Page with the six-pack?
No, I was thinking more like Balenciaga Elliot Page, just kind of like a big suit and the like gelled bangs.
Okay, I mean, I love this for you.
And
you
I'm
can
just
do this
like
teaser bangs. I mean, it's also a costume that's very like you're walking around and someone's like, "What are you?" And you're like,
"I'm like I'm Elliot Page," and they're like, huh? "And I'm like," yeah. But I feel like people of our sort of community will get it.
You have to do the Caesar bangs that they are doing.
They is just doing. I mean, it's like, look, I already have like my bangs are kind of long. If I just gel them, and our viewers can't see, our listeners can't see this, but I feel, you know what I mean. Like, look at that.
Well, that looks insanely creepy.
I'm pushing my little wig forward. I feel like it could be there. Anyway, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be super offensive.
Well, now I'm realizing I need to do the Instagram post that Elliot Page did post-op surgery. That's them like 2 weeks after surgery, full six-pack, no scar, glistening from a pool.
I feel like that shot of them was a little like far away.
Yeah.
And like a little bit low res. And I'd maybe like to see the close-up studio version of that.
Yeah, the unphotoshopped.
It's like, yeah, my body also looks really great from like 30 feet away. I don't know. Maybe that costume is a little bit, what are you? I see what you mean. I mean, again, it's like, to go back to your Bugs Bunny thing, I always want to be Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games. But it's like, I would require like so much planning in advance to get this like bow and arrow and the like black wings that like turn into flames, and like I'm never doing that in time.
I mean, that's always the Halloween stress, is just like you think the thing and you're like, oh, am I really like searching for tarps and bow and arrows like 2 weeks ahead? And that's why I just needed someone to gift me the bugs.
And your girlfriend knew that, and that's why she fucking gets you.
Yes, seriously. Okay, for your birthday, I will get you the Katniss costume. So at age 37, is that correct? Next year, you can be...
Next year, when I'm 37. I keep thinking that 35 is the canonically, like, saddest age of all time, but I'm like, maybe 37 is the saddest age of all time. Well, maybe we've upped it a little bit over the years, because we
realized like,
that
no,
we're
no, no,
dangerously
no.
close to 35. Yeah. We're like, oh, no, actually, 37 is the saddest age.
They're like, no, I think 39 is the saddest age.
Okay, this is gold. We're talking about ages.
Okay, look, let's get into the book. We're talking about Halloween because we read The Haunt. It's a lot of people have been talking about it, but I don't know how many of those people have read it.
I'm guessing a total of zero.
Yours Cruelly by Elvira, a.k.a. No, no. Cassandra Peters.
Well, the book is called Yours Cruelly, Elvira. It's like a, as in like.
Did I say Yours Truly?
Well, you know, you said Yours Cruelly, but you were like, bye.
Oh,
it's
I
like
said
Yours
bye,
Cruelly, Elvira. It's like a letter, Memoirs of the Mistress of the Dark is the sub. And then it's Cassandra Peterson.
I mean, I'm obsessed with her name. I feel like that's the name I choose when I'm like writing any character about like a sensuous middle-aged woman who's divorced. I'm just like, my name is Cassandra.
And yes, honey, I know how to have an orgasm.
Okay, I need to tell you about this like sex ed teacher I had in college, but well, let's get into the book for a second.
No, tell me right now. Don't wait.
Okay, anyway, she was just so Cassandra and like led like a human sexuality class.
Sorry, also, your sex ed teacher you had in college.
No, it wasn't like sex ed. It was being more just like the study of human sensuality and like something, mm-hmm. something, like trying right. to be such a like theories about sex. Class.
What were the theories? Was it all just like desire is a reflection?
Yeah, she was mostly just like horny and wearing velvet and was so Cassandra. Was like her main vibe. So what's random is like I'm so retro and just like old movies and B movie stuff and leopard print, etc. dice convertibles, but like I had never seen the Elvira movie. I just watched it 2 nights ago.
Yeah, I will confess that I, in prep for this show, I did not watch the Elvira movie because I wanted to have a little bit of tension between us. So you've seen it, I haven't, and you can kind of share with me the fruits of your labor. She's someone who you like, you say Elvira and like an image comes to mind. Like, I think most people do have a dissociation with like, yeah, they know who she is, but then you're just like, well, why? Like, why do I know who she is? And she's just had this sort of B-level stardom for like 30 years, but like, I actually, even until we read this book, I didn't know what exactly she was famous for.
And now you know? Question mark.
Question mark. I'm like, so she hosted this show that is very like Mystery Science Theater 3000, where she was like introducing movies to like on like a local LA cable station. And then it was like syndicated nationally, I guess, and in the 80s.
Yeah.
And she would just wear this black wig and be like, I'm spooky but hot.
And then she would make like total jokes about the bad movies.
Right. I mean, the book is very full of these sort of almost dad-esque jokes.
Which is like her thing. And so then I watched the Elvira movie, which I was like, okay, if I saw this, I mean, I did enjoy it. If I saw it when I was 17, it would have like become my personality.
I mean, in the way that like Rocky Horror Picture Show is like a lot of people in high school's personality.
Yes, it's very like Rocky Horror where it's like about like she plays her character of like someone who has this syndicated. She plays Elvira, like someone with like a local TV show who like is like spooky. And then they're like, you need a show in Vegas, but you need $50,000, which is also kind of like based off her life because she was like a Vegas showgirl. And so then she has to like go to Massachusetts to like inherit her great aunt's like money.
Oh, that's and then very it's you like not getting an inheritance in Massachusetts.
Exactly.
This film.
Yeah. So this movie is about me. And then she drives there in her convertible and the whole town is being like, you're a witch. And then she has to like fight off an evil uncle and she's being like big tittied and retro and like.
I mean, yeah, the other thing about her is she's got a rack and a half. Ironic because you are now down a rack. And,
right.
And she is up a rack. I mean, even on the cover of this book, they're being like rack, 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 rack. I mean, like it's. They made
her
sure
rack
to get
is
it in there.
So high. Yeah, kind of crazy, right? The book we read. Post my top surgery is about a woman
It was one of the rackiest subjects we've ever had.
Yeah, big old rack.
And that's because life is all about balance.
Mm. Yes, the balance of no rack to rack.
No rack to rack. I think I will say this book is one of the most boring things that's ever happened to me.
You were really bored by this. And okay, I want to hear your...
Well, I mean, maybe if I hadn't read 38 other memoirs preceding this book, I would be a little less bored. But it just felt like a boring version of every story we've ever heard. I'm just like a girl from a small town, like dreams of becoming famous and is in some local shows and she loves her dad and her mom's abusive, but like not that abusive, but like hits her and is kind of insulting. And then she goes to Los Angeles and like meets a guy and she's sexually harassed by a lot of creepy casting couches and like yeah. works in Vegas and then she auditions and then she's on a show and then she's on another show and then that's going well and then she's on a different show and then she moves into an apartment and then it's like and now I'm 70 years old and I look back and I'm so proud and I wouldn't change a thing. And you're like, okay, cool, awesome, glad that happened for you. Thanks for the blow-by-blow. Blow. like there really was, no. Even like the best parts, just like, yeah, okay, did she fuck Robert Jr.? I mean, like, okay, and we'll get into it.
No, well, I see what you mean, where it's like, when I saw these people posting about it, being like, oh my God, Elvira is a lesbian. This is the best day of my gosh darn life.
No, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, where was your Elvira obsession before she became
Thank
a lesbian?
You.
Like, to promote her book? Like,
it's kind of like when Little Richard died, all these people started posting that, like, Little Richard is their favorite musician and is, like, the biggest gender warrior to ever live. And I'm like, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't see you literally blasting Tutti Frutti out from your jawbone.
Never heard Richard, Little Richard, past your lips or your jawbone, literally ever. Oh, sidebar, this guy this morning, I'm sorry, I mean, this is not about the book, but let me just say this.
No,
as
say
a cantankerous
it.
New Yorker who gets annoyed by people.
I can tell you woke up on the friendly wood side of your bed today.
I really did. No, and I'll say this, okay? First of all, I'm sober now. This is ironic because the last episode we recorded, I was hungover and you were sober for surgery. Now you're back on the wagon and downing martinis and I'm on forced medical leave from the alcohol community. And I'm just pissed. And I'm walking and this guy, I'm on my way to therapy, of course. And there's this guy, this tall guy, he's got a knit bag, like a knit bucket. He's like,
what do you mean a knit bag?
Like a knit, like your sister little like satchel.
Oh,
kind
fuck?
Of just like.
A man?
A man with a little faggoty. I mean, he was a faggot, obviously.
Okay.
And he's like wearing some fucking outfit and it's 11 in the morning and he's blasting some sort of like cheesy, like kind of day disco, like something you might hear at like a sober 7 a.m. rave. Like from
which will start being your new thing. Going to like a Brooklyn Museum day dances.
No, let me tell you this. I'm someone who is like sober and not pretending that it's fun. I'm hanging out with people at a bar for 45 minutes and then being like, I'm ready to leave. I'm not just being like, yes, I'm hanging out all morning and it's awesome. Right? Anyway, this guy's playing some fucking stupid like day disco from his little satchel, walking, like blasting it. And I'm just like, it's too fucking early for this. Like, get over yourself. You're walking through Union Square, like letting everyone know that you're this cool guy, just like providing the soundtrack to our lives. Fuck yeah, I'm at the Green Market. It's like, no, actually, everyone just woke up. We all have somewhere to be and I don't need your bullshit.
You're walking around in your big blazer and your mascot glasses saying, I don't need to hear your music.
No, I'm
Goes
just
home,
like,
writes her interview column.
No, I'm like, I've got my fucking Elvira book in one hand that's boring yeah. me to death. I've got a coffee to wake up from the book. I've got a water. I've got all my anxieties that I've got to unload on the goddamn therapist. It's just like the last thing I need is Mr. Little Day Disco walking around with his satchel. It's like, for whose benefit? It's called headphones.
No, people who play music on, unless you're at the beach, people who play like.
Right. When it's like. And
I'm talking in a bike messenger way.
In a
not
bike messenger
like a
way
cool
too.
On the street way.
No, like on the street with your total ghetto blaster, like hanging out like yeah. on a bench. Like that's whatever. It's cool. It's like 80s. But it's like, I guess it's like cool to have music if you're hanging out with other folk. But it's just like, if you're alone, what's with the speaker?
Speaking of, I just went back to wired headphones yesterday. We have to get back to the book.
Why did you dump your...
I can't find my Bluetooth. It finally happened.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew this was coming.
It took... Okay, so I bought those Bluetooths... It's been a while. I bought them in, I don't know, March?
Off-brand.
Ides of March. My sound cores. And I don't know. I did some photo shoots, and there was a lot of bags, and there was a lot of luggage.
That's so. When I bought your family a DVD player in high school, and it was the brand was like Mintech. It's like, what is this off-ass brand?
That really cemented our relationship, the power dynamic, when you bought my family a DVD player. It also defines my family's relationship to money, because, like, I'm sure you bought it with your Visa Bucks card, and it was like $40.
Yeah, maybe it was like 80, but
$80. And I feel like post divorce, so me, my mom, my sister definitely probably thought that DVD players were like $300.
Well, I think a Sony probably was $300 at that time.
But like a Mint Vivo.
But a Mint Vivo that I bestowed upon a needy family.
A neat Cambridge families in need. Oh my god. And you got us, I think, the Enough DVD, because you were like, well, let me get you started on your DVD collection.
Let me get a ball rolling here with this Jennifer Lopez classic thriller about domestic
we're
abuse.
Sitting with the DVD player being like, oh gosh, I don't know if we can afford a DVD. Those are $700.
Which is so Elvira's family growing up when her father repaired sewing machines for Singer.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
Okay, there was like definitely like stories I was into, but reading this book in, you know, my recovery, I was like, okay, I'm ready to like settle down to like this total like C-list crazy Hollywood stories. But I was like reading it and then kind of putting it down. And I was like, what is this feeling that I don't really want to turn the page right now? Yeah. Like, and I was shocked because I was like, it has all the ingredients. It's about like a big tittied retro like actress who's like a B movie star. It's about like sleeping with Tom Jones. But I was like, something is not pushing me.
Here's the thing. She is old, but she acts even older. Like, she acts like she's from the fucking Dust Bowl. Like, everything it's in this book is so just like, well, gee willikers. Like, so then I moved into an apartment complex called Hullabaloo. I don't know if it was named after the popular radio program at the time, but you can imagine my astonishment at the name. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are these references? Literally, like, the whole time I was like, who the fuck is she talking about?
Well, but also, were you like, because it was just like, she was talking about just like so many random British bands and just being like, we are in our day glow bikinis.
I mean, yes, British bands, but yes, but then she'd be talking about just like a little, I don't know, it was like very just like Bonanza, the longest running network program from 1961 to 1960. And I'm just like, girl, I don't care.
Like, but this is why I'm saying, like, I feel like I, as a child, would just buy one of those really big books of just like lists of old TV shows. And I also then would pretend. This book is kind of in the grand tradition of me pretending I'm into something. Because it's like, yeah. I had this book called like the Cult Movie Stars Encyclopedia. And I would just like read it and page through it, like reading about some random actress from 1932, but just being like in the back of my head was like, I'm actually not enjoying this.
Yeah. This is cut to you like just watching like Carlos Mencia for 2 hours, just like not even chuckling, just like dead-eyed, being like, yeah, I'm a big Mencia fan. It's like, are you, bitch? Can I just read a passage where I feel like this is something that could be interesting that's not?
Yeah.
She's like a go-go dancer at a nightclub in the 60s. It was 1966. Most of them were soon to be deployed to Vietnam, confined to the base and under strict supervision before they were shipped out, probably because the army worried they'd bolt. Coming to these clubs was one of their only forms of entertainment. They dubbed me Big Red, and boy, did they love me. I mean, what's not to love about a 15-year-old girl with long red hair and big boobs wearing a skimpy outfit?
Right, where it's like, this should be this kind of like hilarious tale about like horny army guys, I guess, like being into you, but like it is written in a G. Willikers way. Okay,
so fucking G. Willikers. Like, it's like there are parts of it were Janice Dickinson, parts of it were Sinead O'Connor, but I was just like, those books were so much better, and it's so much more of a voice to them. And she's just being like, welp. Oh, yeah. I was never interested in any of them as boyfriend material, partly because I'd be fired for any hanky panky. The phrase hanky panky, bitch.
Like, she sleeps with so many people. She sleeps with Tom Jones. She loses her virginity to Tom Jones. And she also, like, fucks Robert De Niro. And she, like, almost hooks up with Jimi Hendrix, but then he's, like, too blazed. And, like, she's always, like, driving to a festival. And, like, then, like, a bunch of sad things happen where she's, like, about to hook up with some guy. Okay, that song, 60s song, A Year in the Sun. Do you know it? I just have to play it.
Okay, well, anyway, it searches on her phone for some song that she doesn't remember and none of us know. This book is also, like, sometimes there's a little hint that this was, like, just very much, like, edited in 2021, but, like, yeah, written earlier, like, later in this part of Vietnam. There was always one GI in the crowd with too much testosterone who was gung-ho about fighting the gooks, but being anti-war and anti-racism, I sit as far away from them as I could get. It's just like saying that she's like being anti-racism. It's just like that's not a
reason. Well, which also feels very random, like English teacher right, who's so just like, really I just am into anti-racism. I guess the thing about I wish kind of this book, like so much of it was just about like the journey of being like a showgirl and like being D-list and like going on to the lot and this show getting picked up. And then it's like, it is just random what she goes into detail because like she doesn't become like Elvira until like the basically, I feel like 180, like the end of the book. But then there's a whole chapter about how she's pregnant and Brad Pitt like wants to buy her house, but she's like, I'm too pregnant. You can't buy my house.
But she's still being just like, way to make this boring.
Right. It's like, this is a whole chapter. It's like, I don't know, maybe that would have been interesting if we had like sped up the showgirl stuff. And the Brad Pitt story is so random. She's like, so I told him no. And then he's like, then he came back with another offer. And I said, no. Then he came back with another offer. And I said, I'm 9 months pregnant and this is just too stressful. So I did take his offer and we did get a rental house. And then he wanted to buy my rental house. And then she's like, and that's when I put my foot down. And then she's like, is dishing because it's like, who cares? She's like, yeah, I watched him like through all of his relationships, like Angelina and Gwyneth. And you're like, okay, whole chapter about Brad Pitt buying your
house.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I also like followed Us Weekly during that time. Thanks for the hot tip. Reading this book also to me felt, and I angrily accused Meg today, producer Meg, of choosing this book. So it's like, who the fuck chose this boring ass book? Did we do this because it's pegged to a news story? And then you were like, no, I chose this because the lesbian gossip. And this just reminded me of like middle school or like high school, I guess, like just desperately like going after anything with just a whiff of homosexual content, of just like seeking it out. And it's just like, and this book is a whiff. She literally does not mention her 19-year lesbian relationship until like page 267 out of 272. And it's very like, and then I met my personal trainer and we've been together for 19 satisfying years. What a great life I've had. Bye. And you're just like, okay, awesome.
And she's like, and I realized as I do sit with my androgynous partner of 19 years, it is amazing. No, it is like, that's the thing. And it's like, of all these people posting about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm ready for like 50 pages of that. Okay, well, let me read the passage of the first time she laid eyes on her lesbian partner T. So basically she's married to this like hot surfer guy. It's hot and heavy. He becomes her manager. Classic. Then like he becomes controlling and like
Sven Bolly like relationship.
Where he spends all of her money. Yes, but then like is mad at her for like buying a CD and then he buys a surfboard and it's like, but she's Elvira and he's like pushing her to have her yearly show at Knott's Berry Farm, that amusement park, which we will get into. Have you ever been to Knott's Farm?
No. Is it like is that a Six Flags location now or something?
It's like an LA Six Flags.
I've been famous, to Universal like Studios. I've been to Disneyland. That's in LA, but never Knott's Berry.
Okay, when we were like first starting to become friends, like which was randomly at the end of eighth grade, and we went to Canopy Lake State Park. And I remember you like eating Dippin' Dots, that like astronaut ice cream or whatever. Cream. And you to me were being like, you've never had Dippin' Dots before. You're like, yeah, I love Dippin' Dots.
Me acting like it's like oysters. Just yes. Like, oh my God, she doesn't even know what Dippin' Dots is. She's from the wrong side of the tracks.
Her family doesn't even have a DVD player and they don't need Dippin' Dots. Sad. You're in like orange zip up Old Navy cargo, still just being like, I love Dippin' Dots and Lucy Liu is my crush. We're gonna fuck one day.
Yeah, I was twisted, but I had a taste for the exotic, the international. I travel the world. I go to space. I have Dippin' Dots.
Okay, speaking of sexuality, so this is the first time Cassandra sees
she
her
says
now
in the beginning,
partner.
She's like, it's pronounced like son, not sand.
Oh, Cassandra.
Cassandra.
Which is also so 90s. Okay. Often when I was doing my pre-workout warm-up on the treadmill, I couldn't help noticing one particular trainer, tan, tattooed, and muscular, stalking across the gym floor, knit cap pulled so low over his long brown hair that nearly covered his eyes. Dark and brooding, how do you pronounce that? He gave off such intense energy that when he crossed the enormous gym floor, the waters parted and people stopped in their tracks to stare. A typical sexy bad boy, he was unaware he was so charismatic that he garnered his own unofficial fan club. Watching him from the safety of my treadmill made my heart beat faster and the time passed much more quickly. I mean, come on, I was married, not dead. One day, as I was walking to the ladies' room at the gym, boom, I ran straight into him on his way out. Wait a minute, what? He was a she? That really threw me. Not long afterward, Rich announced he was leaving Gold's, but not to worry. He had someone taking over his clients, who in his opinion was the star trainer of the gym. It turned out to be my former bad boy crush from the infamous ladies' room incident, Teresa Wearson, or T, a former bodybuilder, track runner, and cyclist. She was an incredibly sweet person, despite her tough exterior. So it's also weird in the order. This happens after she talks about the relationship, you know, like there's not really a buildup. So it's like she talks about how like Mark leaves her and then T moves in with her as a friend after T gets out of a long relationship.
Right. And it's like very, I mean, that is very lesbian, the way that that happened. Of her, yes, showing absolutely up with like all her bags on Elvira's door. And Elvira's just like, listen, T, I'm going through a lot right now. You can stay with me and we can be roommates. And that's totally okay. We'll like completely just like insinuate each other in each other's lives. But I'm totally not a lesbian. And then it's just like, and then after like several months of her being really handy around the house. Okay, when she just,
yeah, it sounded like she was doing so many chores.
Okay, when she goes, T's basically like a big kid. And it's just like, yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
That's the most like lesbian description of someone. She's just a big kid. It's like, yeah, I'm sure she's so lunchbox.
Yeah, it is so Finley from Gen Q.
She just sounded like she was describing Finley.
She sounded like she was Finley in 20 years. But it's like, she didn't really say, wait, did she say like their first kiss?
Elvira comes home and she's just like, and then randomly I kissed her. And then we started dating. Well, it's also very like of T. It's so T. And it's so, it is so, it is just so like lesbian to like have this huge crush on your straight friend and like do so many chores around her house and just like hope, yes, that she one day kisses you. And then she does.
Right. And I think that probably happens, you know, 75% of the time. And that other 25%, the lesbian is just like doing tons of chores and the straight friend is like, thanks.
You think 75% of the time a lesbian crush on her straight friend becomes a full-blown relationship?
I guess I was thinking in the statistic where the lesbian friend,
so let's just maybe, let's just actually mathematically, let's think about all the straight girls that you've had crushes on. And you would say 75% of them have become your girlfriend?
I mean, zero.
Because that would mean that you've had more than two girlfriends, which I don't think you've had. Just thinking in terms of numbers. That's interesting.
Shots fired on our first noon recording.
Okay, noon, I was sober, pissed. It's my new identity.
No, I am a virgin. And I guess I was talking the sense of like lesbian living together situation. I honestly don't know where the fuck this statistic is coming from, but I do feel like everyone now is a lesbian, including Elvira. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I mean, that is true. And everyone,
sorry,
is
in my day,
now,
no one was a lesbian. And now everyone is a lesbian.
I could not agree more. A lot's changed.
And in 1962, when I was in flares and day glow, sleeping with the GIs, yum, yum, yum.
When I first got to Vegas, darling, women couldn't even hold hands.
I do want to talk about, I don't know if you read this part, about her Sinatra run-in, and it did sadden me.
I love your kind of, your mild suggestion that maybe I haven't read all of this book.
Yeah. I'm like, so, not to pry, but did you read the book?
I have, listen, I've read, I've absolutely read parts of this.
No, I know you have. You know all about tea. Here we are discussing it again for 3 hours.
Okay, wait, no. Fill me on the Sinatra part, because that is eluding me right now, because there's just so many choice anecdotes in here. It can't be hard to keep track.
Totally, totally. Okay, so, you know, I'm a big Sinatra fan. And look, I'm not going around saying he was an angel, okay? I know he was a total chauvinist. But, you know, she's in Vegas, she's starting to become a showgirl, and she's like with all of the Osmonds, and she's like on a date with one of the Osmonds, and she was like, I was not attracted to him at all. And that is what I do appreciate of this book, is like, she is so C-list, so she can just be like, I thought Donny Osmond was like, he was never gonna get someone.
That is true. No, because it's like, if you're Demi Moore, you can't really like call someone ugly, because it's like punching down. But she's, yeah, like C-list, so she can be like, he like wasn't hot, or like, yeah, like Tom Jones did have a big dick, sure.
Wait, who'd she say had a crazy thin dick? Oh, Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. She was like, sorry, Jimmy, you're a great guitarist, but like she said he had pencil dick.
Oh, whoa. Wait, why did I miss that? Okay. Wait, let me look him up and see if that's true. Because when she said that Tom Jones did a big dick, I was like, oh yeah, big dick face. It really confirmed my theory, because his face is kind of inflated in this way. It's kind of bulbous.
Oh, yeah, he does have a really like bulbous, like lips and nose. Wait, hold on. I have the Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page. Oh, 35. I mean, honestly, the face is giving pencil.
You see pencil. Okay, good. She goes, it was my first it's the first dick she touches. It was my first experience touching a penis, and all I remember thinking is that it felt like a long, skinny worm. Parentheses, sorry, Jimmy. To think I was actually there, lying on the bed, making out with the Jimmy Page from the Yardbirds was thrilling for about 2 minutes, but then reality struck. I was still a virgin, and my aunt was waiting in the lobby right downstairs. What a buzzkill. I suddenly panicked. I snatched my hand off his wang and flew off the bed, grabbing Aunt Lucy's sweater from the floor in the process. I ran to the door and threw it open. I'm a fucking virgin, I screamed at Jimmy, which didn't make a lot of sense, but I thought it sounded good at the time.
She claims to be a virgin like 5 times in this book.
Yes, like, well, what are you? I love that, though, just screaming. I'm a fucking virgin.
When she has sex with Tom Jones, his dick is like so big that it like breaks her hymen again or something. And she's like bleeding and she's like in so much pain. And he like sends a car for her. And like, and then he's like pissed and like she's so sad because she's like, wait, I'm like not going to marry Tom Jones. And she tells him that she's also a virgin. And she's like,
well, that makes sense because I think she was just going to give Jimmy Page a hand job.
So you're saying that she is a virgin in both times?
Yes. I feel like she had a lot of like almost sex, like the tip.
Right.
Stuff. But yeah, I do feel like it's kind of, I also forget that Tom Jones is British.
I forgot that too until you just said that. Because he doesn't really sing with a British accent.
No.
And when I say I forgot that, I mean I didn't know that. That's what I mean by that phrase. Wait, so what? So she sees Sinatra, I guess you're.
She sees Sinatra and he comes over to the table. They're like, come over, like to Sinatra. And everyone's like introducing themselves. And she reaches her hand out to shake his hand and he doesn't shake it. He just like gives her the up and down and says, like, nice pair of tits. And like, then walks away and won't even shake her hand.
Wow. He really dehumanized women. Because you don't think of Sinatra as like that.
I knew he was a total playboy. I guess I thought of him as a little more of a charming chauvinist.
Right, same. Although, I mean, I guess it's like, I mean, he can't charm everyone, right?
Some people, I mean, right. How many showgirls is he meeting a day?
You gotta move on at some point.
And then she's like, I got my revenge. Like, years later, working at like Emilio's doing door check, I spit in his fedora.
Okay, go off.
Yeah.
That's very like the waiter equivalent of spitting in a soup, or the chef equivalent.
Did you, as coat check at City Winery, ever?
I know. I just had that feeling. I was like, wow, I never just like abused my coat check power. I wish I'd done that thing that she does in the movie The Pianist, Isabelle Huppert, when she puts broken glass in the pockets of a coat to like sabotage this girl's hands who she's like jealous of.
I need to watch that movie.
It's so psycho. And this girl like puts her hands in the pockets of the coat and then like her hands get so cut up and then she can't like play at the recital anymore.
Fuck.
Yeah, I never did that. I just like, my only thing I did at coat check, my only like subterfuge was that I would put my own cash into the tip jar to make it look like everyone was tipping so that people felt pressured to tip because they felt like everyone else was tipping.
And then did you take the cash out?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was my cash. I kept all
the cash. Oh, but it wasn't like a tip pooling situation.
No, there was no tip pooling at City Winery.
Because I was like, that would also just be such a weird like back like thing where then they like they're like, why are you stealing from like the pooled tip jar? And you're like, no, I was just doing it as like a busker trick.
It wasn't such a like classic restaurant thing where you're tipping pool and then there's tip out and then like you're in a class action lawsuit later because they're like garnishing your wages or whatever. It was very just like, I'm keeping my $17 and I'm spending that on my 50% off dinner at City Winery, which was like wedding chicken. Anyway, Frank Sinatra's not charming, I guess.
And, you know, my grandmother always said to me, she said, I love his voice, but he's not a good man. And I mean, obviously, Sinatra's better than just like all the like 60s rock stars that like raped her in this book. Or like almost dead. So
okay, one thing I just wanted to say before I forget, I do feel like, so you know how like a trope that we've noticed in memoirs is like every person being like I was so skinny but tall, but like tiny but thin, but had huge breasts, but was so hot, but like small. And like, yeah. I was so awkward and so gangly because like I was the thinnest model like in the whole town. I feel like she has a version of that when she's in the beginning, just being like, before me, no one was funny and talked. You could either be hot or you could be funny, but the funny people were all Joan Rivers, or she like calls Joan Rivers ugly. She was like, people who looked like Carol Channing or Joan Rivers before the surgery. Like, you couldn't actually be drop dead gorgeous like me with a stunning rack and be hilarious. And I like changed the game and I invented Jenny McCarthy by being hot and funny. I'm like, okay,
was it an insane thing to say? It's like simmer.
Spooky segments.
What does she eat? How does she live?
Okay, horse girl stuff. What does she wear?
I mean, it seems like she's wearing the Elvira outfit a lot.
She's in this Elvira costume. This just like tight off the rack long sleeve dress with like deep V cut tits out, like white body makeup, white face makeup, and then this like teased dry wig for about.
But she
years.
Does have a lot of good, fun descriptions in the beginning of like when she's being like a random 15-year-old go-go dancer and she's like, we did Dayglo paint on my boobs. Then I was in like orange bell bottoms. Then I was in like a bra with tassels.
She was good at doing like titty tassel movement.
A lot of like Dayglo titty tassels.
When you had, not to pry, but when you did have your tits, did you ever put a tassel on and or try to maneuver a tassel in that circular motion kind of way?
God, I mean, talk about wish I could. So, you know?
Sorry, I should have brought this up a couple weeks ago.
You should have. I feel like that was a boob thing I never did. I don't know. The chance never came up, and I guess I never like volunteered to go to the tassel store.
And you were never had to like be in disguise as like a belly dancer.
Yes, yeah, like such a Bond girl where I'm like have like lasers in my nipples. And it's being so Casino Royale and I'm like shooting. I also feel like my boobs were, like as I've said, so low so that the tassels would have been a little more droopy. Vibes.
It would have been more like dangle and less like helicopter.
Yeah. Never tasseled.
So what do we think her like casual like around the house with her lesbian butch trainer style is?
Right. I mean, we know that trainer style is completely insane. And the beanie, the photo she includes in the glossy photo section is just so insane. Like
you don't even see her face. Her beanie is beanie's pulled down to her chin. I'm like,
that's a good
so it's
costume.
Actually just a ski mask at this point.
Yeah. Full beanie. I feel like her style, I feel like she's like going to Gelson's or like is going to those LA summer and just like is showing off.
She's pocketless pants.
Yes. I had a babysitter who had jeans with a fly down the crack of the ass.
And I feel like she has style for sure. Like a half zip.
Sexy.
Yeah, sexy. Sexy babysitter, which is kind of coming back, like low rise is like now in like in such style. I feel like she never went to mid rise as a place.
No, I think she was like 60s, 70s low rise and just kind of stayed there. But I think she probably looks so because she always talks about how like she wanted to look different on the street.
Right. So do you think that she's so like, I guess I just picture her because she's so Comic-Con as kind of Renfair and doing like so many corseted like you know sleeveless like vests that have the like you know kind of peasant, why can't I think of the word, like lace
cord.
Like a lace up the front, like a lace up kind of rope corset.
Yes, I feel like she has some of those and then is also maybe just like in a suede vest but nothing else. Like, because she at some point mentions, she's like, oh, so I was hosting like a PETA gala and my two favorite performers, Melissa Etheridge and Katie Lang. And it's like, this is when she doesn't know she's a lesbian yet. And she's just being like, I mean, she's bi. But yeah, I'm getting the vibe that she's
please
like,
don't erase her decades of being attracted
to men. Here I am.
Men. And she says in the book, she's like, I'm attracted to men. I like sex, but I also support the Me Too movement. But is she hat? Is that's another question. That's
Like, is it so weird, Melissa Etheridge? She's like in flares, a vest, nothing else, like boobs to like the chin, and then is in a huge wide brim hat.
That's what I'm picturing. Like, it's just seeming so like kind of Southwestern cowgirl adjacent.
Even though she's from Colorado Springs. Yeah, I think it is. There's a desert vibe to it. And just like sexy tops and flares.
Low rise, low cut, peasant flares.
And her big red mane bounce.
Because her actual hair is red.
Yes.
Rare. Very rare. What?
Okay, what does she eat? I'm going to read this passage here. So she is a vegetarian.
Yeah, she kind of brings up PETA a lot. And it's like, who asked?
I was so excited to be hosting this special sit-down dinner that I spent days preparing for it. I cooked a huge pumpkin stuffed with wild rice, nuts, raisins, and various veggies, and a yummy fresh corn and green chili casserole, among other things. What the fuck? And then, like, River Phoenix, like, passes out or something in her big pumpkin, and she has to, like, take out all of his greasy hair out of the pumpkin. And it's like, she sounds very Moosewood cookbook, like, hippie mom fucked up. Stir fry. She's making this
up
massive
hippie Moosewood mom for sure. I mean, I made a big pumpkin. It's just like so that's weird. Funny. Like what in your Aja stove and your cauldron again? Like where I'm just like, what are you from the 1680s? Like you just made a pumpkin. So yeah, she's making fucked up. I mean, I guess she's not again because she's so like not a modern figure. Like she does not exist in like contemporary times. So she's not being so satan. She's not being tofu and like all the like impossible burgers.
No, I don't think she'd be an impossible burger, but I bet she's tofu. I mean, that's
okay.
Most,
tofu is a little bit like more 80s. Yeah,
she's making like a big tofu stir fry for her and tea, and is having like a big glass of Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. Let's ask the real question. Is tea sober?
Tea is sober.
I've never met anyone more sober than tea.
More sober. Her and tea are sitting down to like some vegetarian place in the valley. And she's just kind of ordering, I'll have your white wine.
Yeah.
And tea is like all of our cranberry juice.
Yeah. And they're and like T loves the fact that Elvira gets down with some Sutter home at this just like vaguely Pan-Asian like strip mall restaurant.
Yeah, I'm really now I am having a vision of
in Chatsworth.
Cassandra. Yeah, at Trader Joe's wine store. Just kind of looking at the $4.99. That's good.
Sure. Works for me. I mean, the way that she probably pulls in just like $75,000 a year.
Yeah. I'm sure, and you know, now she, it's like with all of the merch, it's confusing with her divorce agreement. What's going on with the con and the merch and the Knott's Berry?
Yeah, I've been trying to put the numbers together and it's just, it's, I'm getting a little bogged down as well.
I mean, sounded with the divorce very, like, dark.
I don't know, but
like,
she,
all of a sudden
she's doing some, you know, I'm sure she's doing some, like, 60-40 split with the, like, merchandising people at the Comic-Con. And then she's paying for her, like, hotel room at the San Diego DoubleTree. And, you know, it's like, at the end of the day, just like, I don't think her take-home's that big. And they're living
really
in an
don't.
Extremely modest, like, Van Nuys two-bedroom.
How does she live? Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling it's Mediterranean.
I was just
but gonna, like, as
so funny you said that. I was imagining a wrought iron coffee table, but with a ceramic like surface. So it's like almost like the ceramic tile,
like little tiles,
and then the like
pretty little tiles everywhere,
and then the wrought iron kind of curved legs in this like Mediterranean. Like I bet there's like colored glass, you know, in different areas of her home.
I know it. Like, is she practicing pottery? Maybe outside. I don't know. It's like a small garden, and like tea definitely has some tomato plants
Question,
and stuff.
Buddha statue in the garden. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's Buddha.
I think she's Buddha outdoors.
Not heavily outdoor.
Not
Buddha,
heavily like, Buddha, like not an indoor Buddha, but just like a Buddha statue outside, like in the garden area.
She is more like, right, memorabilia. I feel like she is more just like, oh man, my Who lyric, like my, yeah, you know, so that, lyrics well, that I have framed.
That brings up the question, like, is it actually so hoarder and you walk in and there's just like so many dolls and it's so your house and it's just like... It's like so like B indie horror girl. And there's just like, and these are like the framed underpants that just like, like Kulawu wore in this like C-list VHS.
In Mistress of the Dark. And well, I guess it used to. And then that's her whole thing. She sold all that stuff like after her divorce to make money. So she probably just
You're
has
really
like
hung up on this divorce.
Sorry, you want me to move on? No, that's so easy for you. Someone, a product of a happily married couple.
So happily married.
Oh, wait, who are you in the book?
In the Bork.
I
am.
I mean, I guess I just kind of feel like either we were both doing her like P-Town cabaret with her in like the summer of 84, or we were just like in the Groundlings with her.
Yeah. Am I Phil Hartman and you're Pee-wee
Herman? You're Paul basically, Rupins. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm definitely more likely to be arrested for jacking off in a movie theater than you are.
Right. No, I'm Phil Hartman. I'm hilarious. And then I'm getting murdered by my wife. And you're just no, like, I
thought, oh, wait, did his wife murdered him? Not. The
yeah.
Reverse.
Then she killed then she herself. Killed herself.
God, that's so creepy that he said I could die tomorrow. And then he did. Note to self. Don't ever say shit like I'm feeling so contented in my life. I could die tomorrow.
Absolutely not.
Knock on ward, honey. Yeah. No, I think you are Phil Hartman and your wife will murder you in a tragedy. It'll be so sad. And I'm Paul Rubens.
But, you know, and you're, it's like you are getting caught in a movie theater jerking off, but it's like you're also calling Elvira up and helping her with the book and just still putting out amazing content.
No, yeah. And I'm like, I've been totally there for her and she's been there for me. When I get canceled, like, Elvira will be there and vice versa.
She's been like, this Me Too stuff has gone too far, Pee-wee.
Me too far. Okay. I honestly give this book 1 out of 5 pumpkins. I just...
You hate it.
I actually kind of... This is my new least favorite book. As I said, this book is the most boring thing that's ever happened to me. I'm just like, there's not one element of this book that it does better than another book. Like, there's just no standout part of this.
Okay, I'm giving it 2.8 pumpkins.
The lesbian section is shorter than the lesbian parts of Janice.
I'm just talking about like all just like the random 60s gossip. Sorry.
I guess, yeah, like Tom Jones has a big dick.
Yeah, and just like, you know, the willingness to share and then kind of the lesbian stuff. I'm not really recommending this book to anyone, I guess. But I feel like if you are a huge Elvira fan, like, why not?
That could be your boring memoir title. Willingness to Share. By Lily Morata.
But it is so true what you said. It's like, yeah, I don't know. If we had like not read any memoirs before and I read this, I'd be like, this is so like salacious. But kind of when you've read Janice and you've read Jennifer Lewis and you've heard other actresses of like 70-year-old age like talk about fucking guy in the 70s, it's kind of like, well, you need some like humor. I mean, she's like being like, definitely like a little bit funny, but just like not, it's mostly still just kind of like listing story after story after story. Yeah. I feel like this would be better in kind of an true Hollywood story. Like I want to hear her talk more, you know, it's like her in the outfit, maybe telling some of these stories rather than in the book form.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, she was on a couch.
Yeah. She's famous for being on television, not being on book.
Right. Which is why. Some be on book and some be on TV.
Yeah, man, don't put your day job, right? Next week, we will be reading none other than Patriot.
Christian.
Sinner.
LGBT activist.
Best friend, all-around hair icon, Meghan McCain. And her book, Bad Republican.
Bad Republican.
Can't wait to dive into that.
Our nation's first daughter.
And our nation's last daughter.
The last daughter.
The last
now
daughter.
Now on CBS.
On Paramount Plus. The Last Daughter would so be just like in its seventh season. You're like, who's still watching The Last Daughter? And it's literally you. You're still watching Last Daughter.
I know. I really want to watch The Last Daughter now.
Okay.
Okay. It's been a long read, a long rate. Best. Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prolong Projects. The show is produced by Wicked Witch of the North, Meg Murnane, with editorial support from Wizard Leon Newhawk, Andrew Parsons, and the Ghost of Cap. Our production manager is a sorceress by the name of Persia. Original theme song by Wildcat, Stephen Phillips Holst. Art by the great master, Chachi Blacks, a chips one. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe on your favorite. Leave us a review and don't forget to tell your friends about us or I will cast you to hell.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.